according to Peter. Yes. What are the names that is this period called? Pardon? Yes, we call it that. Does the word millennium occur in the Bible? No. Would we call it the kingdom age, the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom? Who are these Udon thrones in verse 4? Probably so. Where have we seen other saints on thrones? Are these different orders of rulership? Probably so. Do the saints of the present age rule on or over the earth? Yes, I have checked that, and nearly all, to me, all of the acceptable authorities agree that it's over. Is there a celestial and a terrestrial glory? You know the difference in celestial and terrestrial. Where will be the center of government during the 1,000 years? Yes, now that's the earthly Jerusalem that will be the rule of the earthly government. But will the earthly Jerusalem, well, that should have been heavenly Jerusalem there, because the next verse says, but will the earthly Jerusalem be associated? If you'll remember, in the new Jerusalem, the throne of God under the Lamb will be there. From where will the law proceed? Yes, if you'd write Isaiah 2 and read that at your leisure, the word of the Lord shall go forth from Jerusalem. Will the Lord dwell on earth or heaven at that time? Heaven, we believe, but by whom will he administer the heavenly kingdom? It's the church saints, they will all reign with him in measure, won't they? The 12 apostles are in the church. They will have the 12 tribes of Israel. The reason we say that is, by one spirit were we all baptized into one body, and the 12 were there on the day of baptism, and you and I weren't. What is the reign on earth called? We dwelled on that a moment ago. The millennium is a kingdom. Will the millennial age be perfection? Will the temple be built in? Where are its measurements seen? Who will be the chief nation? What can you say of its government and the results? It will rule, and it will be the government, won't it? Will public safety be enforced? Isaiah 11 speaks child playing on the whole of the cockatrice, and Zechariah 8 speaks of the children playing in the streets. What about the brute creation? Yes, how about sickness and old age? And there shall the sinner shall die at 100 years. That child shall die at 100 years. In other words, if somebody dies at 100 years, he's still a child. And that must have been true in the early days. You'd think Noah's sons weren't born till he was over 400 years old. How many stages to the judgment is viewed in Revelation? I would say in this instance 2, the first half and the last half. When is the day of wrath? Yes, how many judgment scenes are there? I'm going to suggest something to you on the 21st chapter of Revelation. If you have a Scofield Bible, under note 1, notice the second paragraph, the judgment summary. Among the many judgments, the first one is the judgment of the believer's sins and the cross, the believer's self-judgment, and so on. I will let you read that for yourself. Will there be other nations besides Israel saved? The nations are those that are saved. Where do we view the judgment of the nations? Matthew 25. Is this before the millennium? And it's before the millennium blessings come. It's right in the beginning of it. Are these living nations? Evidently they are. I doubt if there will be nations in hell, don't you? In the sense of, well, I'm an American, you're a German, he's Chinese. They'll just be wicked people. Yes. Of the nations? Well, it starts out dealing with nations, and it sounds like it winds up dealing with individuals. Lord, when did we see you a prisoner? When did we not visit you? And inasmuch as you haven't done it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you haven't done it unto me. But seemingly, the judgment will be based on how they treated Israel at that time, and they will be marched into everlasting judgment. I feel like it will be a judgment of living nations. In Matthew 25, 31, notice what it says. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, he shall sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And then the blessings follow, and then they question him. And I feel that the nations that are saved there will go into the millennial age alive. Those that are not will go into judgment. Is that nations are individuals. You follow me? Well, they will receive individual judgment, certainly. Now, like at this judgment, I feel. Now, what makes me think that is, notice what is stated in about the 41st verse. And when you say individual being judged, you mean, will they receive their eternal judgment? I see what you mean now. I didn't quite follow you. The 41st verse says, not the 41st, but the 46th, these shall go away into everlasting punishment. And then notice that this is the fire prepared for the devil and his angels. They might even go to the lake of fire then. The beast and the false prophet do just before this. I wouldn't make a positive statement there, but notice the everlasting punishment. Now hell, that is Hades, isn't everlasting. Those that go to hell will be, their punishment will be continued in the lake of fire. Death and hell will give up the dead that is in them, and then they will go into the lake of fire. What we normally call hell or Hades is not an eternal state. They will be in a state, perhaps will be like their eternal state, and it's very possible that they will receive. Now that isn't a dogmatic assertion. Where will they be judged? Is Satan judged then? No. Well, no, here, now this judgment that we're speaking of in Matthew 25 is an earthly scene. Notice the 7th verse, are these earth living nations? Well, the answer is yes. Are the wicked living judged at the coming of the Lord? Where will they be judged? That will be an earth scene. Now the great white throne judgment will take place after the millennial age and after Satan's time of release. Is Satan judged then? Now, we might say partially, in the sense that he will go to the lake or to the bottomless pit, but not finally. Now, the first question, I don't know why number 10 is a repeat, but question 11, what happened to him? Where is he during the millennial age? How long before the wicked dead are judged? When is the judgment of the beast and the false prophet? Yes, when they're taken at the end of the Battle of Armageddon. What do you see in this as to ranks in the second resurrection? That is what the question is implying, is are there different degrees of punishment? This statement teaches that in Matthew 11, Jesus said it'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for you, those that had rejected his testimony, such as Capernaum and other places. You mean the beast and the false prophet? Probably those two men will receive as great or greater punishment than any other men that have ever lived, and they will get it 1,000 years ahead of the other dead. And every man in that final judgment, there is an implication in this, every man shall be judged according to his works. Now suppose I have been unsaved, and through my teens I didn't care for the things of God. I just turned Christ down. I didn't really get out and do any great crime as the world views it, but another man is permitted to live to maturity and do many crimes. Well, if a man is rewarded according to his works, he will receive a more severe punishment. Notice that it is said they treasure up to themselves wrath against the day of wrath. They just keep adding to their treasure of wrath. That's Romans 2. Of whom are the two wicked men the antithesis? Well, of course, the translated saints. We dwelt on that. Was Christ raised before his body? He didn't have a body. That is a spiritual body, did he? What is the first thing we view in chapter 20? We had that already, really. How many times in Revelation do we view this chief messenger, that is Christ, as an angel, of course? Messenger is angel. Did you hunt for them? What would you say? What would be a better word for it than many? What about 6 times? Now, you see Christ more than that, but not as an angel more than that. Revelation 7:2 saw an angel coming with the seal of the living God. We feel that that was Christ. In Revelation 8:3, there is an angel at the altar offering incense. Offering incense was a priest's job. We judge this to be Christ. In Revelation 10:1, there's a mighty angel comes down from heaven and takes charge of heaven and the earth, sets 1 foot on the sea and 1 foot on the earth.
In 14:17, we see an angel going to reap the harvest of the earth, and this harvest turns out to be Armageddon, and it will be Christ that will tread the winepress of the wrath of God. That's in Revelation 14:17. Turn past it. Another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And then 18:1, I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. We believe this to be Christ, and in the 20th chapter, in the first verse, we see him having the key. In the first chapter, he said, I have the key of the bottomless pit. Now, to me, this is the six times that Christ appears in this book as an angel. Now, in the Old Testament, many times he appeared as the angel of the Lord, like in the burning bush, repeatedly called an angel and yet called Jehovah. All right. Are all the saved resurrected before the millennium?
Yes.
In a sense, yes, and in a sense, no, because the first 7 years will be a part of the millennium. But I think the questioner had yes in mind. Is that the first resurrection? When are the saved nations resurrected? Those that die in the millennial age will be resurrected toward the end. What is said as to them? Remember, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Who are those on thrones in chapter 20 and 4? Well, let's read it and see just what it says. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. Then those that overcame the beast come in separately. Notice that. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image. A little different there. Who else are seen there? The martyrs, we just talked about them. What are said of all of them in verse 4? It's going to be wonderful just to be there. That'll be precious and sweet. How can you explain this honor purchased for us by Christ, of course? What is the object of the 1,000 years' reign? And to manifest men, it won't be the ideal state. It will continue to test men. And it will be so good that people will think it's the perfect state. Death will still be here. I could turn to two or three passages in the Old Testament. But who will be in control of the, or where will it be the center of God's kingdom on earth? Who will be in control of earthly affairs? And Jesus through them. Who controls it now? Well, let's say, who is the God of this world would be another way of putting that, or who is the prince of the world? Yes, the devil. Is this, that is, his having charge of it, with God's permission? Has man been tried as to fitness to reign during these 6,000 years? Has man been faithful? Will men in every part of the earth yield to Christ? There will be many that won't. Will a mixed state of affairs prevail even in a millennium? Will the seventh age still be a trial of man? Will the king be faithful? Will men find an iron rod rule? But will it also be a shepherd's rule? What will reign? What attribute? Will there be peace? Will there be peace? They'll learn war no more. How far will the reign of the righteous ruler extend? To the entire world. What shall his name be called? Can you say the five titles? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Mr. Bodie had a sermon years ago on the five bells of Christmas, and that was the five bells. From where will the nations come to worship him? Not to where here, but from where? All nations. Will there be a physical change in the earth? Yes, there certainly will be. Will all prophecy be fulfilled? What laws will be enforced? I would say God's laws in answer to that. Will Christ be on earth in person at that time? Who will be his representative nearest the earth? Well, they will have died, or they will be raised, they will die and be raised from the dead. If you read the scriptures that are given, probably 8 or 10 times in the book of Ezekiel, there is a prince that will be in charge. What will be the apostles' place? The Bible isn't clear. Now, because David is mentioned a couple of times elsewhere, people have said it would be David. I can't disprove that, but I can't prove it. So I'd rather just call him a prince. I have all the references marked in my Bible. I'll turn to them for just a moment, and we'll glance at just a few of the passages. In the 44th chapter, in the 3rd verse, It is for the prince. The prince, he shall sit in it to eat bread before the Lord. Then in 45:7, and a portion shall be for the prince on the one side and on the other side of the oblation of the holy portion and the possession of the city. In the 16th verse of the same chapter, the people of the land shall give the oblation for the prince in Israel. And then in the 22nd verse of the same chapter, upon that day shall the prince prepare for himself. In the 46th chapter, in the 2nd verse, the prince shall enter by the way of the porch. The 8th verse of the 46th chapter, when the prince shall enter, he shall go in by way of the porch of the gate. The 10th verse says, the prince in the midst of them when they go in and when they go out. The 12th verse, when the prince shall prepare a voluntary burnt offering or a peace offering. In the 16th verse of this 46th chapter, thus saith God, if the prince give a gift unto any of his sons, we know from this that it isn't Christ. It speaks of his servants that he will have and his sons here. And in the 18th verse, the prince shall not take of the people's inheritance by oppression. You see, it's not Christ. Christ wouldn't oppress anybody. Well, that will suffice to show you that there will be a prince to represent Christ here. And then what will be the apostle's place? Yes, that's in Matthew 19:28. Ye shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Now, unless verse 21, or question 21 on 93, will Christ's kingdom close with judgment? What will happen? Who will deceive them? Satan will lead a rebellion. What is next in order? Yes, and the great white throne follows. What disappears? Heaven and earth fled away, verse 11. I personally think this is the most solemn scene that will ever take place in history. How many millions upon hundreds of millions will stand there without a ray of hope or any potentiality of ever having any help? I'm glad I won't be there. Is man tried here? What is given him? Yes, the 12th verse. Is the fact that he stands before that throne sufficient proof that he is lost? Will any of the saved stand there or are opened? Is this an impartial judgment? Will the great as well as the small of the earth be there? What one inquiry will be made? Yes. But according to what will they be judged? What is the description of the throne? Two adjectives, great and white. Who is the judge? Are you completely persuaded of that? I can remember the first time I heard that stated, I questioned it until I knew what the scriptures said. Yes, Jesus said, the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment to the Son. And he shall be the judge of quick and dead. And God hath appointed a day in which he will judge the secrets of men by that man whom he hath ordained. What is the reason that they will be found before this great white throne? Yes, unbelief, and that means rejection of God's way. They may not have called him Christ in the Old Testament, but when they rejected God's way of salvation, they rejected him, didn't they? He wasn't actually Christ then. He wasn't Jesus then. Those names were given him later. Are all men in the provision of God redeemed?
Yes.
Why are all men not saved? Oral Roberts used to say, now all men have faith. He emphasized that constantly. Turn your faith loose. Paul said so clearly, all men have not faith. And some people get off on a tangent, and you can't correct them. They won't accept it. They've gone too far. What does it signify that the sea gave up the dead, and that death gave up its dead, and Hades also? Yes, I might throw this in passing, that death and this holds the body. The sea holds the body. Hades holds the spirit. Where were all these cast? What is this called? What is the second death? The lake of fire called? Yes, the second death. What is the absence of good works? Or is it the absence of good works that damns men? If so, the thief on the cross would have been damned, wouldn't he? Is it the fact of evil works that send them to the lake of fire? What are the names, when are the names of the saved written in the book of life, according to the book of Revelation? For whom is the fiery lake prepared? Is this the last judgment? I don't believe that sin will ever again be permitted to mar God's creation. How many special judgments are there recorded in scriptures? Now, I mentioned this while ago. We will notice them down here in the second paragraph on page 1351, if you have an Oxford Bible. The judgment, self-judgment, the judgment of the believer's works. Let's go back. The judgment of the believer's sins and the cross of Christ. And number two, the believer's self-judgment. Incidentally, I was thinking about that the other day. You know how to escape judgment? I mean, the Christian, well, judge yourself. Very simple, isn't it? It may be grievous to me sometimes to have to hold up my affairs before God and tell him that I sin. The judgment of the believer's works when they're rewarded. The judgment of the nations at the return of Christ, Matthew 25. The judgment of Israel at the return of Christ. The judgment of angels after the 1,000 years. The judgment of the wicked dead with which the history of this earth ends. I look back at times when school was out, Bible school or secular school, the sad partings, something had come to an end and would never be any more like that. So at this point, things will come to an end. What is the difference between the lake of fire and the second death? Evidently none. So what are we introduced in chapter 21:1? My, John dwells on eternity past and on eternity future. He must have been a thinker. Now these first verses of Revelation 21 take us beyond the millennial age. We come back in the ninth verse. Is this a continuation of the former chapter? Yes, we believe so. How many divisions to this chapter? All right. Where did the fourth vision point end? Must have ended it. Yes, that's where the fifth point begins, so it must end there. Now you will notice this in the fourth verse. God shall wipe away all tears from all eyes, and there shall be no more death. Now there will still be death in the millennial age, won't there? If you don't know the scriptures on that, we'll take time to read one or two. But I'm confident, I think we read them the other day. What person of the Godhead is prominent in this first part of Revelation 21? In this first section, do you notice the name Lamb or Jesus or Christ in the section? Would you not say rather that God, notice he's mentioned in the third verse, and again he's mentioned in the seventh verse, and it seems as though the first member of the Godhead is more prominent in these verses. Is this new heavens and new earth a reconstruction of the old things? Now you will find in Christendom a great debate there. I incline to think there will be brand new, but then many of my good friends believe it will just be an overhauling, and they reason this way. The scripture says of me and of you, if any man be in Christ, old things are passed away, and all things have become new, and yet are you the same person? In a sense, we are. I have the same memories, same body. And so we can leave it at that. Will corruption or death be visible after this? That is the eternal state. What are the prophets tells us of new heavens and new earth? But is this latter, that is this in Isaiah, the millennium? If you'll examine it, it actually seems to be. What does it signify that there will be no more sea, no more sin? And then how is the sea used symbolically in Isaiah and elsewhere? The nations, yes. The wicked is like the troubled sea that cannot rest but casteth up mire and dirt. Is this literal, that there be no more sea? It could be and probably will be. Is there a spiritual meaning also? There will be no more Gentile nations in the sense that there are now. Will there be anything visible of the old creation in the eternal state? Will death be gone with sin and sickness? Will this be true in the millennial age? From whence did John see the New Jerusalem descend? What was its appearance? And it was like a jasper, like a stone, most precious, even like a jasper. Notice the word most precious. Yes. Well, what was its appearance would be right in this verse. What would you infer from the adornment? Now we have another subject. Yes, and it speaks of the adornment of the saints, the bride. How many statements regarding this city? Well, what did you come up with? I couldn't really get to the bottom of what the questioner had in mind. Are all the heavenly redeemed a part of the city? Notice the word heavenly redeemed. That in the millennial age there will be the city, but there will still be redeemed people on the earth that won't be a part of the city. Why is it called the bride adorned? Yes, when does this fifth viewpoint begin? Yes, would you say it about the beginning of the millennial age, or about the time of the end of all of these other things that we've been looking at? With what does this part connect? Notice the citation is 19:9. Yes, well, 19:9 mentions those called, and then this connects right with it. Where did we leave the bride in chapter 19? Of course, we left her in heaven and being married. Who is still showing John these things? Yes, called here an angel, isn't it? Is the angel mentioned in the first part of the chapter? That is, in the first 8 verses. If all were omitted between chapter 19:9 and 21:9, would the sense be perfect? Did you connect them, read them? Seemed as though it would. Is the continuity broken at 19:9? The topic changes, doesn't it? Is this the heavenly scene during the millennium? The yes. Holy city. Yes, where was the vile angel seen before? One of the vile angels. Back in 17:1. Well, the vile angel. Yes, he was seen there, and then one was seen in 17:1. How many times is New Jerusalem seen descending? 3 times? Is it 3 or 2? Okay, let's argue this out now. It's seen in the 21st chapter and about the 2nd verse, and then it's seen in the 9th chapter and the 10th verse, and where is the 3rd one now? Is the city in verse 10 said to come on to the earth? What is said of the other, verse 3? It doesn't state in either instance that it will actually come to the earth. Whether it actually ever does, I do not know. According to Revelation early 21, there will still be a new heaven and a new earth. Whether there's ever an actual coming together, I don't know whether the scriptures will prove it one way or the other. What person of the Godhead is prominent in the millennial scene? Is there any mention of the Lamb in the first section? That's the first 8 verses. What would you infer from this omission? Does this accord with 1 Corinthians 15:24? Then cometh the end. How long does Jesus reign as God Almighty? Then who takes charge? For whom are the leaves of the tree of life? This is in chapter 22 now. Will there be any sickness in the eternal state? But the leaves will be used in the millennial age, won't they? What does this prove? Well, actually, I think the healing of the nations proves that this scene is millennium. Where did the nations walk? 21:24. Right. What is said of the kings of the earth? The word translated into there, I confidently feel, would be better rendered unto it. How large is the city? That's the height of the wall. The 16th verse. The length, the breadth, and height of it are equal, and then it says that it was 4 square, 12,000 furlongs. Yes, it could be both. There's so much here that is symbolical. Now let's think for just a moment. 12 gates are 12 pearls. The gates are 12 angels, and the names are written thereon of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. In history, the entrance to God has been through Israelitish men or their teachings. The foundation stones have the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The city being 144, the wall being 144 cubits implies 144,000. This is an implication. And the city is pure gold, and it's the bride of the Lamb. Therefore, the gold must represent the overcoming saints. Now, I believe there's going to be a definite city. You mean 144 cubits? We can imply that. It doesn't say it, so we will imply it. The number of saints that will be there is going to be immense. I've been in a ghost town, and the town is made up of people. And there are things that it will definitely be a place. There's doubtless much here that will be literal, and much of it will be symbolical. Now, the size. Well, I wouldn't... The numerals in Revelation sometimes are symbolical. Now, when it says that the blood will flow for, it means 200 miles in Revelation 14, We usually think of that as being actual, that there will be an abundance of blood over an area. It couldn't be in a circle 200 miles because Jerusalem, only 30-some miles from Jerusalem to the ocean, so it'd have to be lengthwise. Some of the measurements are, some of the numbers are to be taken, I think, literally. And many of them, like the lamb having seven horns and seven eyes, this definitely has to be symbolical. There were more than seven churches in Asia, but seven were singled out to represent the church of the age. So it will have to be immense, whatever it is. Of what element will it be composed? The city itself is, well, that's the foundation. The city is pure gold. How large is the wall? Of whom, yes, 144. Of whom is this a suggestion? What would you infer besides from verse 17? Well, yes, it was that. The measure of the angel, that is, of a man. Would you believe from this that the angel was a man? The city was, notice the last part of the 18th verse, the city was pure gold. According to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel, was the way I should have said it. I rather doubt it, because it seems to me that that represents an earthly scene. I'll tell you something a little bit comical. We will build upon her palace of silver, is that what it says? One translation, and this is an interpretation, his interpretation, not a translation, says if she resists like a wall, we'll endow her with silver. If she yields like a door, we'll close her in. That was, you know, the way girls were married off in those days. No, that's another scene I feel entirely. I feel that that will be the Jews coming in an earthly sense. I think you'll find Brother Copley's notes on the Song of Solomon might be helpful there. Where were we? 97.7? No. 96 what? 7? Of what will the wall be composed? Well, that's the garnishment, isn't it? I believe so. I should have that verse down here. Verse 18. The building of the wall of it was of jasper. With what was the wall garnished? What does this signify? That signify? Yes, for his own purposes, God chose that his saints would be represented by precious stones in the breastplate of the Israelites. How many gates are mentioned whose names are on them? How many foundations to the city whose names are in them? What would you infer from these details? Good answer. Will they adorn the bride? How about the water supply? From whence does it proceed? Will the heavenly city have a temple? Who will be the temple of it? And what will lighten the city? Two things mentioned. What are they? 20. Right. Somebody wrote a song, in the city where the Lamb is the light, in the city where cometh no night, I have a mansion over there, but then the Bible doesn't say we have a mansion. Will the gates of the city ever be shut? That's in verse 25, there'll be no night there. Who only shall enter there? Yes, and how are they specifically mentioned here? Right. Will there be an earthly city patterned after this Jerusalem, this heavenly Jerusalem? Where is it described? Yes, it would pay you to read that and get a concept of what the earthly Jerusalem will be like. Will it have a river that will make it glad? There is a song that you hear sung, there is a river. And they apply that to the noun, but Psalm 46:4 said, there is a river that will make the streams whereof shall make glad the city of our God. Words to that effect. Will these two cities be in harmony and communion, communication? Will the curse be removed from the city? Yes, verse 3 of this 22nd chapter says, there shall be no more curse. What about the earthly one? Eventually it will. What proof of this statement? Well, this shows that there will be a death, death in the millennial age, that the curse will not be completely lifted from the earth. And if you wanted to jot down in connection with that for your own reference, Ezekiel 44:25, I'll call your attention to that, because you will find people that they're going to tell you that in the millennial age, everything will be right. But notice this, speaking of the priests, they shall come at no dead person to defile themselves, but for father or for mother or for son or for daughter, for brother or for sister that hath no husband, they may defile themselves. Now that is by touching a dead body. Now that is the restriction on a priest. And if there wouldn't be dead bodies, there wouldn't be any point giving the restriction, would there? While death is still possible, can we say conditions are perfect? what will still be on trial in the millennial age. Do you have any proof of that? Yes. Is the heavenly city a literal place? Will the streets be actually walked upon?
No.
Some say yes and some say no. What is a street? I doubt if they'll have automobiles. I rather infer that they will be there. Is this the city that Abraham looked for? Who was caught up to paradise and returned? Did he hear literal sounds and see actual things? Will the heavenly Jerusalem be the capital city? Will its authority be beyond that of the earthly city? Is this God's consummating purpose? Has he desired to dwell with man? Has he purposed the foreordained lamb of sacrifice should have a bride? Is this heavenly city to the answer to these purposes? Will men see the face of God? Right now we got an argument to settle. Will men see the face of God? Verse 4, they shall see his face. Where will his name be written? What would you say verse 6 of chapter 22 declares? Question 13. Yes, I believe it shows that they will. They're faithful and true. How many other times in this book is God's seal of inspiration? How many other times in this chapter is God's seal of inspiration put upon this book? I think we're worded a little bit wrong there. We have verse 6, and what else do you have? Yes, anything else? And verse 10 mentions the prophecy of this book. Verse 16 shows his testimony concerning it. And this book is mentioned in the 19th verse. With what scripture in the first of Revelation does verse 6 connect? Would it be 1:1? Where else are the words of this book said to be faithful and true? 19 and 9 or 11, which is it? Seems to me there's another more specific statement. The 9th verse says, of the 21st of the 19th chapter says, right, blessed, but that isn't an affirmation similar to this. Well, we'll go on from there. We're going to have to go on from there if we get anywhere. How many times in this chapter does the Lord say, I come quickly? With what exclamation is it prefaced? What does the word behold announce?
Look.
Yes, many times in the Greek now, when it's used this way, it's an exclamation. It's not simply saying look in the imperative sense. What does the word behold, and now while we had that, what does it signify that he's coming quickly? Yes, he's going to act quickly when it becomes. Or this thing will be finished quickly. He'll come suddenly. Doesn't necessarily mean that he was going to come quickly from the time that it was shown, but for the way we reckon things, it certainly hasn't been quickly, has it? Yes, he will come quickly. Are we to close end of the Gentiles now? Will that be over? When these things in Revelation begin to be fulfilled, will there be speed manifested? Where has the blessing pronounced in verse 7 been written before? Of course, we have that right in the citation there. What happens to John at this point? Well, that's right at the end. Yeah, I think he was just so awestruck that he was kind of carried away. Wouldn't you think so? What does the word of the angel prove? Yes, who are these ministering angels in this book? Yes, is Revelation a sealed book? If men are not changed by these revelations, are we to cease teaching them? Will the awful revelation of judgments announced in this book change all men? Not toward God, but will some get the blessing? What does Christ add to the second announcement of his coming in verse 7? Yes, especially that my reward is with me. What does Christ add to the second announcement of his coming in verse 12? Let's look at question 8. What is the title as to the author of the book in verse 13? And what else? 6 statements. How does verse 14 read in the Revised Version? Maybe you didn't have a revised. Yes. I checked several Greek texts, and the more acceptable Greek text to me, I can mention, I checked 6 that said their robes, that they washed their robes. It's rather comical to hear somebody say the Greek says. You nearly have to say what Greek. But it does say washed. Would it be a false basis for entrance to the city if it was as in the Authorized Version? What alone is the ground of hope for entrance to paradise? Faith in Christ. It would be interesting. I'm confident I'd know what God would say if a sinner could say, Now, what is the entrance for me into your kingdom? I wonder if the Lord wouldn't say, if you can read the 10th chapter of the book of Romans. Will there be an Adam and an Eve found there? Will God be again in fellowship with man? Is redemption viewed in Revelation is consummated? Will Satan be allowed to enter the heavenly paradise? What are without? Funny that people love a lie, isn't it? What name does the Lord take at the close? I would say that was in verse 16. Well, I missed that there. I am Jesus. When was that name given to him? Yes, back in Matthew. Is that the name at which all men shall bow? What other names does Jesus give himself here? That's in verse 16 now. For his deity and humanity thus described, or was he before David and after David? Or his deity and humanity?